8.
Any last words?
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to Chuck and Lou and Pete. Pete, how's it going tonight?
I am doing well. How's everyone's weekend going?
My weekend was pretty good. You know, we got Friday night, went out to a trivia night. I dressed up as a Garth from a little Saturday Night Live. Had a fun evening, brought the party back here to Huntington Park. And next thing you know, I look up and it's 2 a.m.
Party on, Garth.
That's right. Party on, Wayne. So, you know, took it easy last night. By the way, you know, we got Lou here. Lou, any activities this weekend you want to tell us about?
Friday, supposed to go to a cross-country meet at McNair. If anybody has been driving by McNair on draw seed lately, there's been a lot of cross-country meets.
Sometimes I can't even get a taquito and come back. My house takes 30 minutes.
And, yeah, so I was at one of those on Friday. Wes was not in it. It was people from Incarnate, and I was supposed to be there about...
Minute into the show, Incarnate.
Supposed to be about... They're about 3:30. It's 3:15. I'm still in school.
Ah, what are you doing at school at 3:15?
Taking a test.
Oh, on a Friday?
Yeah, for math.
Oh, man, they poor guy.
So
a little happy hour math test.
So I had to rush there, get there, and then went to the football game afterwards. That was fun.
Warriors versus High, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in the show.
I did nothing yesterday except watch football and golf because tour's over in Korea.
Absolutely, and I believe you said you got 12 hours of sleep in?
Uh-huh.
At least?
Felt great, and then... Today, went up to church, hung out with some people, and I'd say it's a successful weekend.
Nice. And Pete, you know, tell the community, you are now employed in the St. Charles School District once again. Tell us your new gig.
Yeah, I'm real excited. I'm at Monroe Elementary.
Nice.
I have one class at Jefferson as well. It all came about real quick. Interviewed, I guess now it'd be 2 weeks. And started this past Monday, and first week went well. I'm looking forward to week number 2.
Well, welcome. Welcome back into the district
here. Thank you very much.
I'd just like to say we haven't had a podcast in a month because I got almost mono for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we blame, by the way, you know, the non-Chuck and Lou show here lately has been because Lou's been out due to some sickness here. But Iggy, how's it going back there in the studio?
Going okay.
All right. Iggy got a scare. He almost got shot on the way here.
Dodging bullets,
baby. You know, he was on the way here and decided to tell a guy he needed to slow down a little bit. You know, we're in a area here where there's children, and next thing you know, he's out here getting drawn at. It's so right. Crazy, the streets of St. Charles here on a Sunday evening. So
right, it's like the Wild West.
It's just the wild over here by St. Charles West. What's up? Just making sure that the safety is brought out here. But, man, a scary situation there. But,
yeah.
Was it a
blue Mini Cooper? I don't know if I should give out his license.
Nah, that's probably shouldn't do that. But
yeah, let's
Mini
not
Cooper,
give the bounty hunters
any
more
info. A headlight out. So if you see a blue Mini Cooper with a headlight out, I would just
tackle him.
Step out of the way or tackle him.
Or don't tackle him because he's loaded.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I'd probably go the opposite direction.
So look out if you're out on the streets tonight. Anyways. Before we really get diving into the show here, we're gonna talk about a lot, but just make sure you guys can find us on the Twitter handle @ Chuck and Lou, and it's @, and then it's CHUCKN, the letter N, and then LOU. And then also you can always find us @ SCW Basketball, and then on my Facebook page. But, you know, tune in. Tell others about it. I know we've been at some trivia nights with sponsoring some rounds. And, Pete, we got the St. Charles High girls. Is it just the girls' basketball?
Girls' basketball, November 1st.
So November 1st, and it's at Bar Mayo. Still looking for a couple tables?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now we're about 30 tables. We're hoping to be between 30, 35. We can hold up to 40. So it's November 1st.
Okay, November 1st.
Come on out. It's $20 a person. Tables of 8.
Well, get your teams together.
Absolutely. It's a great time.
And give Peter, Drew, something on Twitter, even us on the Twitter page, or a lot of you out there know who we are and can get in touch with us. So if you're looking to get into a trivia night, we got one coming up. We're going to sponsor one of those rounds, Chuck and Lou are. But let's go ahead and get started into the show here. And I'm sure everybody wants me to start off with talking about the Battle Hawks in there. Right, Lou? We want to talk about the Battle Hawks here for a half hour. I know they took, they took Wes Saxton at tight end. I think Cartier Gordon might even be playing for the Battlehawks.
He's back in town.
He's back in town. And then I think they might be looking, you know, Brandon Gregory from Cardinal Ritter. Maybe he could step up and coach the Battlehawks here. He's got some time on his hands here with this Cardinal Ritter situation. Wow, you know, we talk focus on high school sports, and this has just been a shocking story. And Luke, can you kind of give us just a little bit of background here on this Cardinal Ritter situation that some of you might have even seen on the news?
Okay, so recently. Tuesday there was an article. Well, reported Tuesday. It was Wednesday. There's an article out saying paper found that Cardinal Ritter had used an ineligible – said may have used an ineligible player, but it was pretty clear that they used an ineligible player. That week one of the season, they had a kid suspended after he got kicked out of the state championship game last year, which they do carry over one-game suspension across all 50 states.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that.
And so the kid is found ineligible, and they changed his name. He's all of a sudden a freshman. And instead of number 4, he's number 24.
So we got this hot new freshman, number 24. He's not wearing the right jersey number. For those of you out there who don't know the rule, and Lou did a great job of explaining it, but just to put it in perspective, this would be like me 6 years ago when I got ejected from the last game of the year against St. Charles High.
This is him going Bobby Valentine.
Yeah, this would be Bobby Valentine or showing up in my Garth outfit from the other night trying to coach. It's a weird deal. Everyone kind of knows the rules, but when you look on social media with this, you know, people were really up in arms, especially started with my opinion. They started with the head coach because the head coach, you know, obviously you're playing a kid. But I believe, Pete, they were playing in Chicago, correct?
Yeah. Was it
Nazareth Academy. Yeah.
So you're going to Chicago playing game one. The kid,
the defending 7A state champs.
You know, the kid, I believe, did not play in the Jamboree. And the coach is trying to say that the Jamboree was what the game that they thought he couldn't play in. But they all knew if he goes up there, he's wearing a different number. They label him as a freshman. The next thing you know, this freshman goes for 100-plus rushing
and
yards.
And then you see him on the coach's Instagram leading the pregame huddle. I don't know if a freshman's leading pregame huddle, especially first game of the year.
Yeah, it just didn't kind of add up. But, Pete, what is your just opinion on, you know, the program and the AD and the coaches and the kids and the parents? What is your take on this cheating scandal, really?
It's, number one, it's unfortunate. We talked before the show started, how often does this really happen? You just never know. It brings into question, you know, the culture that's been set. No one spoke up about it. Obviously the head coach didn't say anything. None of the assistant coaches
or the players or their parents,
the players or parents. So obviously they're all okay with it, you know, forfeiting every game this year and not playing a game the rest of the season. That's unfortunate. The kids who were, you know, did the right thing, but right. At the same time,
and to think about this,
I feel terrible for those kids. But you know, someone
also knew about it.
Yeah, they knew about it, and someone should have spoke up about it. So that's unfortunate.
I mean, as this goes for high school football, Cardinal Ritter essentially placed a death penalty on themselves. As like as far as you can go in high school.
Well, I think your opinion is very well taken. I mean, if I'm a parent who's wanting to take my kid now to Cardinal Ritter, I mean, this isn't going to go away. Because this is the story that when we're 55 or 65, or Lou when he's in his 40s, this is a story that we're going to be talking about. I mean, remember back in the day when Cardinal Ritter played the kid? And, you know, for those of you who don't know, he kind of got caught because he had tattoos on his arm. And next thing you know, they see another picture of him, you know, running the ball. And he's got the same tattoos on his arm. It's just something that, let's face it, Pete, we're coaches. The guy went to play a game in Chicago thinking no one would find out because I believe the press release after that game, they interviewed this young man, or maybe it was game two, and he had said, the illegal player had said, yeah, I really was itching to get into game one, but I couldn't. I mean, this was a soap opera.
Yeah, they interviewed the kid who his name was changed to Marvin Burks for 1 week. They interviewed him that week one. Now that was
that name, Marvin Burks.
Now that was by a writer from a paper in Chicago that did it for St. Louis. But I mean, how would they know any different?
Right.
And then coach says, yep, he was itching to get back in. We know that.
Can we assume if the kid played his first game against St. Charles West or Duchenne or St. Charles High, that this doesn't happen because people around the area know the kid? Do you think they took advantage? What are your thoughts? They probably took advantage of having a game in Chicago.
No, I agree with what you just said. Being out of town, not too many local, you know, press coverage.
Yeah, David Kivitall's probably not flying to Chicago.
Yeah, I would agree. So they probably thought they could get away with it and then bring back the kid for week two.
It's a shame because I think it's something that now, you know, people are going to assume that it happens more than it doesn't happen. And it probably does. It's just one of those things where it really gets the, I hate to say it, it gets the public school kids and their parents, and it gets a lot of people fired up because they just don't know how much of this is happening.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't know, and no one's going to know. By the way, in round 10, the Battlehawks did take Jordan Lasley, a wide receiver.
Do you honestly think this happens more at a small school like a Cardinal Ritter? Like, you can't, let's be honest, would a CBC or DeSmet do this? Answer is probably no, because they have more kids.
You know, no, because they have 16 other running backs who are better than half the running backs who play. You know, I mean, Cardinal Ritter is small, so they're probably saying, you know what, we're going up, we're a nationally ranked team. We're playing a nationally ranked team. We got to have all of our horses in on the saddle here, you know? And I don't think it happens at bigger schools because they probably have another running back who's just as good.
I think they just cared about, you know, putting a good show on for the fans there, right. Obviously, with no, you know, regards for the rules.
Right.
And they didn't want to get embarrassed.
Right. Well, if I wanted to put on a good show, I might lace him up one night, you know, first game before the season. I might lace him up and get out there. I might have to lace him up and get out there this year because our football team is moving on to the St. Charles scene. St. Charles High played St. Charles West the other night. If you've grown up in St. Charles, you kind of know that the football scene, the St. Charles High, St. Charles West football scene has kind of been dominated. And I shouldn't say kind of. It's been dominated by St. Charles West for, I'm sure Lou knows how many years now. But then went out and faced the Buckos the other night. And Lou, how'd that game go?
West won 40-12, which continues the almost half of two decades of dominance now for West, 14 years, I think, now. And West took care of business for sure, putting touchdowns up early, and High just struggled on defense. They played better than I think a lot of people expected to offensively. Couldn't find it. They got down to about 15-10 a couple times, couldn't score. But West, just a well-oiled machine right now.
You know it is, and for those of you, it's been a while. You know, West is missing, in my opinion, I think their best all-around player in Jameson Reese, who's out for the year. He carried the ball for him. He was the middle linebacker. He does a lot of things. Lou and I kind of talked, if we want to relate this to basketball, it would probably be like losing half of Trent's points this year and then losing Clark as well. Kind of losing your energy guy, but then losing your main guy's point production. I think it's going to be hard for the Warriors to make that final four run without some of these injuries and the Scruggs kid as well. But it does look like the matchup is still going to be there down the road with Lutheran St. Charles. My only worry with Lutheran St. Charles is West is missing some of their middle linebackers, and they have Lutheran St. Charles, a big line and a very good running back. So I just worry about the tackling capabilities of the Warriors going into district play. But district play is coming up, and we have some teams around the area, some big school. I know DeSmet's still kind of running the show around town. I think, Lou, you mentioned that the Warriors obviously going into their district, but we have
a team in the Smets district who will still probably get the 2 seed. CBC, they went on a business trip to Rockhurst Friday night and lost by 20.
So they lost to Rockhurst?
Yeah, lost to Rockhurst by 20. I saw that.
So they have a chance to play the Smet again, is what you're saying to me?
Yeah, they're in
is that
the same district.
Six, I believe. Francis Howell's in there. You mix in Hazelwood West, Slough High, Hazelwood Central, Francis Howell Central, Pattonville, who's 1-7.
People looked at all. I bet a lot of people looked at that district and said, man, that's a tough district. And CVC's kind of going to have to battle their way to try to play DeSmet.
And maybe just to get slaughtered again. You know, but that, I'm sure that's the goal. But if you look around the area, just kind of in the GAC, Pete, we have St. Charles West, who's won 3 in a row now, GAC North titles. Francis Howell, who's kind of an oiled machine, and GAC South, they're going to go ahead and win their second conference title. In the GAC Central, Zumwalt North, you know, the green machine.
The last 6 years, they've just been just so consistent, well-coached, great athletes year in and year out. You know, they're going to get everybody's best effort.
Yeah,
and they still
sustaining it in football.
They're really number incredible. One still in Class 5. And
Zumwalt North, you're talking about?
Yes, and they're number 2 right now in Class 5 is Jackson. That, if those two play each other in state championship, man, that could be a heck of a game. Jackson's really, really good.
Yeah, their facilities, we talk all the time about how good their facilities are. But So do you think, Lou, is it possible, do you really think that out of those three teams, St. Charles West, Francis Howell, and Zumwalt North, would you go ahead and tell me that you think Zumwalt North probably has the lead in possibly making it to a state championship
game? Yes, Howell's just there in that district with the Smet. It's loaded. Yeah.
And West, with its injury situation, I think if you look at their Class 3, you look at, I think you were saying a couple of the powerhouses, even as far as Blair Oaks is 8-0.
If they would beat Lutheran, they would most likely play Trinity. And Trinity's exposed right now. They just lost 2-8. Kind of below average Slough High team.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I would say they're on the way back up, but they're still average at best.
The winner of that, we assume, that district title that West is in and Lutheran St. Charles is in, may have a chance in that next one. And then, like we had said, there's still some definite competition that would still be ahead of them. So I think if you're looking in St. Charles and you're a fan, I think Zumwalt North is someone that you're going to want to follow along pretty closely, because I think they will have a chance there. So, Lou, let's talk a little bit just about the local volleyball scene. Kind of a quick roundup of the local teams and where we're at in the volleyball season.
Okay, so Last Tuesday, St. Charles West took on Orchard Farm at West, and it's a great match to announce. Everybody should take a listen to Warrior Vision. And West beat Orchard Farm in three sets. Orchard Farm had clinched the GAC North by then, but West played just a great match against Orchard Farm, taking advantage of Orchard Farm not playing at their strongest. West is now at 4-15. Now they've had some injuries and just a lot of troubles, but I think it's definitely a confidence booster, especially going into a rivalry game with St. Charles High this week.
And Pete, do you play any volleyball? You go down to Newtown?
Used to a couple years ago. It's been a few years. I've just been sticking with the slow pitch softball.
Yeah.
But I enjoy playing volleyball.
I do like a little rep volleyball in my life every once in a while.
It's fine. I played out at Ethel's a couple years ago.
That's a great complex out there
at
Ethel's.
Yes. So yeah, I wouldn't mind, you know, hitting the sand.
You like
again.
Sand? I'm kind of a sand kind of guy. Get up in your beard.
I dive and I'm all over the place. You know, I can see it. Yeah, I'm pretty competitive.
Probably ACL might go down.
Yeah, I'm getting a little older. So,
if you were going to tell me, Lou, who's one volleyball team just around the St. Louis area besides your typicals, maybe even keeping it a little bit more local, who was the team that maybe some of our audience might know that could possibly make a little run?
St. Dominic. That's a tough district they're in. It's at Lutheran. St. Charles West is in that. Orchard Farm. Lutheran, St. Charles. Dominic will probably get the one seed in that. Lutheran, St. Charles, the two seed. Orchard Farm, the three. Dominic just came off beating Incarnate, which was a big upset. Okay. I think a lot of people expected Incarnate to win that, but Dominic's starting to prove who they are. And that District 5 through 8, that region, as they would call it, is what is essentially the group of death, what they call it, because you got Incarnate, Dominic / Lutheran, and Borgia. That are all possibility for a quarterfinal.
Wow,
that is sectionals and quarterfinals all on the same day for volleyball. So that's literally the group of death.
That is rough. So let's kind of move over to cross country. I know our own Lily Jackson was, I believe, 6 seconds away the other day from breaking the school record in cross country.
Yeah,
Anna Versman. I know a great listener of the show, listens every weekend. Anna Versman lives down the street. She runs by the house and yells "Chuckaloo!" You know. So I let her know the other day that her time might be in jeopardy, and she asked me to make sure I talk to somebody about that so it doesn't happen. Let's talk about the outcomes of the GAC North when it comes to cross country around town.
Yeah. So Lily Jackson, individual winner. GAC North for the varsity girls. St. Charles High won the team event. It's at a very flat Orchard Farm course.
I was wondering why those times. Yeah, it's pretty flat out there. I know that.
Yeah.
And then for the varsity boys, West won that. They got three runners that are pretty strong, including young sophomore Jacob Blassingame, who's just – he was – as a freshman, he was okay, but he's absolutely turned it on this year. Some big finishes in big events. A lot of top tens, and he'll be one to watch out for. He's kind of turned into their top runner. And so that West, they're young with the boys team, but they're going to be this year, next year, you got to watch out for them.
Pete, you run the mile in what? You run the mile tomorrow
heavens.
Morning. What
if I ran it tomorrow morning, it would probably be about 8.5, 9 minutes probably.
I got you about 8:33. I think if I run it tomorrow morning with you, with the last couple 3 or 4 months, I bet I'm right with you there.
Yeah.
Maybe even
that. This is the first fall where I haven't ran a half marathon in like two or three years. So I haven't done any running. So
that's good. We got two guys in the set who have ran half marathons. I've run two. How many have you run?
I've ran three.
And then I haven't ran like 10 miles in the last 10 months. So I've put on the brakes a little bit when it comes to the running aspect of things.
Well, maybe we should start training again. The Go St. Louis is in the spring.
I've ran the Go before.
So have I.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow morning at Monroe. We're just going to run 1 mile, right?
I can tell you I ran
11 miles.
I can tell you I walked 11 miles on Wednesday.
What were you? The heck were you doing on Wednesday?
Walking the 5K course at McNair, getting a good feel for it.
He had to make sure he walked it, you know. So, as we come in, I do want to shout out a little bit of soccer here. Moving on to the local teams, the Orchard Farm soccer team, I believe, is 15-0. And that is remarkable. In the GAC North, I think they've beaten St. Charles West. They've beaten St. Charles High. I know St. Charles West has had some injuries. I also believe St. Charles High, did they beat St. Charles West?
Yes, they did. 2-0 the other day on Wednesday.
So there is some good competition around town with soccer, but I believe, and Lou, you've seen more than me, would you say that Orchard Farm is the team to beat in the GAC North?
Yes, they are, and they're in West District too, so they're the team to beat in that district as well. Orchard Farm, I'm going to be honest with you, they're not getting enough love in the state rankings.
I agree.
Yeah, they're, I think, sixth right now. They should probably be about fourth. And There, I know once you get out of that district, your section will be Priory.
Yes, and I know I've talked to the coach out there, Coach Cox at Orchard Farm, and he said that Priory is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for their sake, I hope the district is competitive, but you're telling me that you think they would probably have the lead in that district. Who's in that district this year?
It's Orchard Farm, the host, St. Charles West, okay. Duchenne, and North Tech. Duchenne's just, they're not as good as they've been in previous years.
What is North Tech's record?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
You think that, I mean, they can't be very good in soccer, can they?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, probably I was thinking the same way. I thought with Trinity last year, I'm like, oh, Trinity powerhouse football team. And then I watched Trinity play. They were really good.
And they beat West.
Yeah.
Two games
the one game they lost, or one of the two, right?
Yeah, one, two. The only one in the regular season. And
tells me about my soccer knowledge, so.
Yeah.
Did anybody go to Nashville this weekend to watch the Mizzou Tigers just put it on Vanderbilt? They didn't.
I don't think the Tigers showed up to Nashville.
Oh, so it was just all Mizzou alumni just at Tootsie's just getting it, and then Kelly Bryant forgot to get on the bus is what you're talking about, because I thought the final score was Mizzou 14.
No. Well, they scored 14.
Oh.
But the Vanderbilt scored 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They lost to Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the worst loss? Going out to Wyoming and getting it handed to you, or driving to Nashville and...
Wyoming's actually week one, like with them selling out on opening night of the weekend, or opening night of the season, and just, I mean, doing what they did. I'm not even too mad about that now, because Vanderbilt with nobody in the stands, 50 degrees in a game you should
usually win. It was their homecoming game too, I think.
Yeah, and yeah. You guys, and Mizzou loses to Vanderbilt.
That Vanderbilt loss was way worse, I think, than the Wyoming loss. You would think by now, midway through the season, things would be, you know, clicking. And
why am I not looking on my phone in the second quarter? Why is it not 21-3?
Both of these losses are road games too, right?
Yeah,
only two road games of the year.
I just don't understand that. You know, as a Missouri, like, I want to be a fan. I want to get into it, and I look on my phone, and it's like 7-7 in the second quarter, and playing freaking Vanderbilt. And then I look up, and Illinois beats Wisconsin. How does Illinois did they have a couple in illegal players? I mean,
well,
it's in Chicago. I mean, maybe just if you go to Chicago, you just play. I don't know. It was deep.
I didn't watch the game because I was busy watching Mizzou and the Blues. Mm-hmm. But
same.
Yeah, it was. I saw that and I was shocked. I have a few friends that went to Wisconsin.
The spread was 30.5.
Yeah.
Wisconsin was favored by 30.5. What did your friend say from Wisconsin? Did they?
I haven't even reached out to her. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Wisconsin losing that game is.
If you're a Wisconsin fan, you almost got to feel like.
I mean, if you're anybody in the Big Ten right now, I mean, that screws the Big Ten for a college football playoff spot in general now.
I think if you're Wisconsin, you're almost done.
College football, did LSU, are they number two?
Yeah.
Did they jump Clemson last week? Or was it this
week? Now it's Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, then Clemson, then Oklahoma, as long as they can keep the Sooner Schooner upright.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you guys see that?
I did see it.
That young lady went flying.
It's remarkable no one was hurt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those horses went they were flying out of the gate.
Just...
It looked like I was at Fairmount.
Yes, just on a Friday night. Like,
and then they took that corner a little too tight.
Left-hand turn.
Oh, my goodness. Yes,
there are no Clydesdales, I tell you what.
Yeah. Holy cow, that wouldn't happen with the Clydesdales.
No. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't. I watched it 50 times.
Yeah,
so I just watched that girl tumble. And then they're like trying to get the horses.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But Oklahoma... It might sooner.
I wonder what happened if you released like a tiger at LSU onto the field. What would happen
if you released a tiger onto the field at LSU? I think you might have some people running in the other direction. What would you do if a tiger?
What was it? What's the movie? Jackie Moon, the basketball movie.
Yeah. With Ferrell in it.
Will Ferrell, where they had the bear, he wrestles the bear, and the bear gets loose, and chaos ensues.
Yeah,
imagine that times 1,000 with a tiger.
Yeah,
and can you imagine who's LSU's head coach?
Ed Orgeron.
He looks like a tiger. He probably tried to fight that son of a buck, you know. But that's a very good point, you know. If the tiger is just unleashed, what are some other mascots in college football. That if their well, mascot
releases their eagle, but that's like they train that. For
birds,
a while, so.
Birds freaking scare me though.
Okay, there's the Missouri Tigers, the Auburn Tigers,
but they have an
the
eagle.
LSU Tigers. Now I get it's War Eagle with Auburn. Like, why don't they just change the name to like the Eagles?
That wouldn't match very well, Auburn Eagles.
You know what I'm saying? Or I just never understood why the eagle, and there's probably a reason for it. I probably should have did a little more show prep. But what,
you're telling me you didn't show prep on birds?
No.
Okay. What about Texas? Like the Longhorns?
They have Bevo. He's in a little cage, though, I think.
Yeah, if they release that thing, who knows?
What other mascots are there?
I don't know, but that poor Georgia Bulldog, he's fat and overweight. He would just get lit up by a tiger.
Didn't he last year?
I don't know. But, I mean, heck, I have a feeling that the LSU Tiger is probably a little bit bigger than the Missouri Tiger right now. I can tell you that. But Penn State's kind of rolling. They're 7-0. Florida back into the top 10. I think Notre Dame
should have lost that game to South Carolina. I'm not going to deny. Yeah, that was the first half they played in the monsoon, and then Florida finally got that. I will say, though, that game was the worst game to watch all day Saturday. It was so bad. They were turning it over probably about 20 times.
Slippery football.
As a Missouri fan, losing to Vandy is, you know, pretty bad. But just imagine if South Carolina could have beat Florida.
Well, they beat Georgia, so.
You know what I'm saying?
The standings, then Missouri.
And then the standings, then Mizzou, you know, if they would have won, they could lose one game, and then they'd be good.
Yes.
So it's just.
And Mizzou went from playing in the championship game to. I mean, does the NCAA just come out now and say, Mizzou, sorry, we're going to ban you because you've lost two of the crappiest teams? Like, I would almost ban them just for, like, who cares about the lady who took tests for them? I would just ban them for losing to Wyoming. I'd ban them for losing to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I don't know. How about Mizzou basketball being ranked 13th in the SEC?
Out of 14 teams, right?
Yes, 13th out of 14.
Why? Aren't they supposed to be okay? Oh, wait. They did not get Ramey, and they did not get Caleb Love. And they did not
get Cameron Fletcher.
Did not get Cameron Fletcher. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who's worse than them in the pre?
Who knows? Vanderbilt, I guess.
Oh, God. Here we go again.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
What would be the issue with Mizzou being 13? Like, what's their weakness, I guess?
I don't know. I think their point guard. I don't think Pinson is. I mean, let's face it. We've went after point guard, and we had Pinson. I think Pinson we got after we didn't get Ramey. It was like, go grab that guy. And I think he'll be okay. He's kind of a stringy, kind
just take
of
care
hot
of the
shot.
Basketball.
Yeah,
you know,
just don't turn it over.
The Missouri will go as far as Tillman takes him this year.
Oh, that's scary.
And yeah, and if he's getting in foul trouble, hopefully learning his lesson of what the first 2 years he's going to be a junior now, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So hopefully he stays out of foul trouble. I'm interested. I'm intrigued to see him play.
Right. Kind of like you're intrigued to watch the football team this year. And then,
yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe their baseball team's going to be better. I don't know.
I mean, they do have the only national championship, right?
I believe
so. In Mizzou's history.
They have Golden Girls, too. That's not bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Better than nothing, I guess. So, Lou, you said you did not want to talk about the Blues tonight.
I guess I'll just say they're, 3-2-3 now? And
that just sounds such like a hockey record. Like,
yeah.
What sport do you want to be? 3-2-3?
Yeah, you have 3 overtime losses through 8 games. And they played a couple good games, and now I think the hangover's really starting to hit in.
So you think they're starting to consequence a little bit of the party habits that possibly drone into the season here. They only had about, 60 days in between
partying it up. It's kind of, you know, reminiscent of last year, just not being able to play a full 60 minutes.
And do you really care?
Do I care?
Yeah.
About the Blues?
Like right now.
Right now. Part of me is yes, but the other part of me is like, all right, well, we went on an 11-game winning streak. And then
I can go
to
another
5 to 7
games with this, but if it carries on after that, then I think there's issues.
I mean, I'm going to the game Thursday, and I'm going to love it because I really enjoy going to hockey games, but right now I'd rather water my lawn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sitting down every game watching it.
I know you are, and at least I have someone who kind of keep me in tune here, but, you know, I mean, I keep looking at it.
It's hard to pay attention until, winter really gets going. I understand that.
Or you mean it's hard to pay attention because the games that mean something that we just partied for happen in June.
Yeah.
So I still have to go through an entire basketball season, an entire spring season, until maybe I'll hit the neighbor's, deck up and watch some hockey games. But, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I know you watched all the playoff games. So
I did every night.
So April and May counts, too.
The Blues are – the Western Conference is loaded. Yeah, it's even more loaded than last year.
I'm intrigued. Tell me about the Western Conference.
Tomorrow night, their opponent is Colorado. Show prep 7-0 right here.
Yeah, well, I, you know, I'm a hockey guy.
Stan Kroenke 7-0-1.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, Colorado's really good.
Dallas is off to a terrible start. Yeah. San Jose's off to a terrible
Vegas
start.
Vegas is going to be good. I mean,
one word to describe Stan Kroenke, Pete.
I can't say mine on camera or on the area. I can't
say.
If I
had to, I guess, pick one, it'd probably be the toupee.
Yeah, I think he just.
Is that like, a toupee? I think it is.
I'd say idiot.
Idiot. I'm going to go creep.
Yeah. And then how about, Kroenke? What is it? Their stadium out there in L.A. is, what, $2.5 billion more than they thought?
It's going to be $2.5 billion.
So what's his plan, Pete?
I think he wants to charge the players. Was that a joke? I thought I read that somewhere.
Yeah, it's Tom Brady. You're going to give us, a million.
How about Tom Brady on that Netflix show? Do you see that?
You watching Netflix?
No, but I just saw what it was.
What show is Tom Brady on Netflix?
So he,
talk to me, baby.
So it's a show that Paul Rudd does where his character pulls up to a strip mall. Tom Brady's walking out of a spa.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he goes, Tom Brady looks at the guy, says, first time? He goes, yeah, I said sixth for me. So.
Do you hear that was a green screen?
Yeah.
And then, like, he had no idea what they were doing. I think he was upset about how it ended up being.
Yeah. It was filmed before everything went down with Robert Kraft, but yeah.
Absolutely no idea what you two are talking about right now.
The only reason I saw it because it was something that was trending on Twitter about Brady, so I, you know.
Yeah.
Because he is my fantasy quarterback. I was like, uh-oh, did he get hurt?
How are the Battlehawks doing? Isn't that your fantasy team?
It's a tough week for the Battlehawks. I have running back issues. I have wide receiver issues.
When you see a name trending on Twitter, do you instantly assume the worst?
I think that's the society we're in right now. Something pops up, and it's just like
especially if you see a name of like a 60 to 70 year old person, like you instantly assume the worst.
Like Sandusky.
I'm not saying not Sandusky.
I mean, I would think anything on Twitter, you don't really want to see your name pop up on Twitter. Yeah. I know it was a long week for some local football coaches, but let's talk about another one in general. We talk about the Roosevelt, high school football. A tale of two different things with the Cardinal Ritter, which is kind of just a gross, yucky feeling, that pit in the stomach when your, girlfriend of 3 months in high school breaks up with you. But when you look at the Roosevelt coach, I believe Lou, you said he was the athletic director, he was the football coach, and this guy,
Trey Porter.
Trey Porter had a really good relationship with his football team, and in that situation, he was kind of like their father figure, and I believe he was kind of making the kids check in on the weekends to make sure he knew where they were at. And we all know as coaches in the setting that, there's different social media rules, and unfortunately, the Roosevelt coach is let go, kind of because, something came up with not following, I guess, your certain social media rules, and it couldn't have been too bad because he was at the game on Friday and still talking to the players after the game and things, but I just don't get that one.
Yeah, I don't either. I understand why the rules in place, obviously. But like the guy had good intentions.
Right.
That we know of.
Right.
And like you said, if he was at the game the next day, I'm sure everything's okay.
It could have been something on social media bad enough to where kid can't.
So everything I read or saw in the news was the guy turn that whole culture around there.
Right.
Like, helped renovate the stadium. The football team was really, they turned it around, I think, too.
Just to kind of say how this kind of is with the city. The city school district pays people to go renovate Gateway Tech Stadium, and it's still not finished. They've been doing it since June. This coach brings his players to renovate the stadium, and they get it done in one day.
And I think, Pete, you're with being a coach. Do you think sometimes as a local high school coach of any sport that sometimes you have to hold the brakes and not get too far in with your players and families because of the handbook?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think so. Yeah. I
think you're right because I felt that. I think every coach early on in their career, they always try to do whatever is best for the kids.
Yeah.
What's ever easiest communication-wise, whatever they think they can do to win. And I think sometimes you actually might get yourself in more trouble because there's so many little rules by actually doing things that maybe are a good thing, but maybe there's always one parent or someone, maybe it's a parent of another sport in your program, that they're always going to find the negative of the positives things that you're doing. And I think sometimes as coaches of any level, especially if you're a varsity coach and you have your hands in the program, that unfortunately sometimes we have to step back. And it kind of at times makes us look like maybe we don't care about our players, but we have to care about the rules that are set in place.
Absolutely. First. And as a coach, you know, you try to build a positive culture, and you set these, you know, routines and, you know, procedures in place, and you all positive things, right?
Right.
So you hope that that culture that you created carries off the court with your players,
right?
And then so they're out in public and you can trust. It's like being a parent, you know, especially a high school parent. All right, your kids are gone on a Friday night, you know. Well, I'm sure they're checking in on them, but like obviously you got to trust your kids,
right?
Obviously, I think if that's anything, I don't know what he did,
right?
Like,
absolutely.
So the
Cardinal Ritter one is more transparent.
This issue is. I mean, Roosevelt this summer, with all the violence going on in the city, they've been hit the worst by it, because there's been two or three students at Roosevelt, their body has been found on the campus during the summer. So, I mean, their students have been rocked hard by the violence this summer. And I think it's just kind of interesting that they've fired a coach now after all this happening, which makes me think that he may have increased what his activity, checking in on the players more because of everything going on.
Well,
and I think it's now come to the attention of the school district, and I personally think they shouldn't have fired him.
And good intentions is a cool thing to say, but you always got to follow what's in place.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And we as coaches know that there's certain things in place that you got to make sure you follow. So we'll kind of end the show here with talking a little bit about the Cardinals. You know,
I have no comment.
It's been a couple years. I know Lou's kind of probably just done with it. The Blues are going on. Cardinals just looked awful. You know, you go back to the Mike Schilt's speech being leaked, and we had to kind of deal with that and then act like it didn't happen, and then just ran into an absolute.
Do you think the Nationals even cared about that speech, honestly?
Do you think the Nationals could care less?
Yeah.
I really think. I think the Nationals are one of those teams that baseball talks about where they got hot at the right time. They remind me exactly of the Blues. And when you talk about hockey and baseball and the run they're going on, I think they were 12 games under 500 at one point, 19-32-ish, and they went 80-40. Just look confident as can be. In my opinion, they have really good starting pitching. And in my opinion, the Cardinals were not even on the level of the Nationals.
Let's be realistic here. Going into the season, if you said the Cardinals were in the NLCS, what would you guys think?
I'd have been totally fine with it. And then I think if you'd have followed it up with a couple of questions or comments about statistic flows of their year with some guys. Like, if you start giving me stats and you told me that this happened, I'd have said you were full of crap.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, the Cardinals' slogan this year was win now, right?
Right. Time to fly.
I think I can tell you right now that, obviously the fans aren't happy. I think the way the season, how it all went, I think that's why the fans aren't happy. But if you had told me they would have gone to the NLCS without everything happening going on the regular season, which means not getting any pitching at the trade deadline, which you could argue whether it worked out or not,
right,
are surprising guys like Tommy Edman. If you had just told me just that the Cardinals were going to the NLCS to start the year, I would have taken it.
Absolutely.
And just the way how it's happened, I think, is what has angered a lot of
fans. Do you think the Cardinals are going to make more moves in the offseason because of what happened against the Nationals? Here's my question to you. If they lose to the Braves 5-4 in Game 5, I think Cardinal fans in the organization, first off, Marcel was going off in that series. What I'm saying is, do you think it opened up more weaknesses of the Cardinals by playing that game to where maybe they're going to think, we need to do things now? Because I think if they'd have lost Game 5 against the Braves, they would have been like, well, I think the team we have is pretty good. And they may have, but it just showed a ton of weaknesses. And what do you think they're going to do with Dex? What do you think they're going to do with Marcel? What do you think they're going to do?
Ozuna's not coming back. Yeah. No question.
He put something on his Instagram, like basically thanking St. Louis for these last 2 years. So obviously, I don't know if he's coming back or
he's
not.
Coming back.
That message right there alone is like, all right, they probably have had this conversation, said, we're not going to sign. And here's what's going to irritate me.
Get it, Pete.
Matt Carpenter.
Well, what are you going to do with him?
That's the thing. And I was reading somewhere where they're maybe thinking about putting him out in left field.
Oh, just
well, his arm one is not.
You don't like the lollipops over to first there?
I don't. But like our outfield next year could be with, was it Carlson? Dylan Carlson, Randy A.
Rosarena.
Randy Livestream.
Yeah. I'm okay with Fowler. I think he's. He'd be a good right field.
Fowler proved his worth in the regular season.
Yeah.
In the postseason, he went back to where he was.
Yeah, and I'm not sold on him. I was never on board with the deal, but that was at the market that time. We needed an outfielder, so yeah, we're going to pay the guy. I just hope we give these younger guys a shot here, because Edmund, Edmund
can play.
And that and we talked about, you know, evaluating players, right?
Right.
Cardinals were on record, or was it Dan McLaughlin was on record saying Edmund out of spring training was the best player in camp?
Yes, and I heard that by two or three of those people.
So why isn't he on the roster right away?
Right.
If you know he's your job as Major League Baseball team is to win games. This right. isn't freshman well, reason, basketball.
Yeah, it's not like his mom knows the coach and
he didn't pay his dues. He was in the Cardinals organization for 9 years.
It's pretty obvious that the Cardinals, they're very loyal to their guys, and they weren't going to give him a chance until someone like Carpenter failed tremendously.
Yeah,
and they gave him his chance, and now it's what do you do with these guys? And
just contracts.
I'm interested. If the
Cardinals call up Rosarena and Carlson next year is full time. Do you think Jose Martinez is gone?
I mean, I don't care. I mean, Jose Martinez is not going to be in this outfield. If he comes off the bench, that's fine. I think the ideal situation would be for the rule to change and the DH.
I was just going to say that.
And he just sits in the DH role. He'd be fantastic for the Cardinals to sit in the DH role. I'm still okay with the Cardinals right now because their pitching staff is still young enough to where it's going to be okay.
Waino back next year?
Waino's back.
I think so.
I think your starting rotation is what it is. I mean, I think it really could be the two young kids, Michaelis and then Wainwright, and then try to find.
Well, Waka's not coming back.
No, Waka stays in St. Louis.
Garrett Cole.
I mean, he's gone. But
Garrett
Cole.
Yeah,
Garrett Cole.
It kind of depends on what the Cardinals want to spend. But yeah, that would be great. And there's a couple other guys that would be fantastic for him. I like Rendon. I don't know when he's a free agent, but he's going to be one of the highest.
It's this year.
He's going to be the highest paid player. Yeah. I mean, that guy.
I got to ask. Nationals or Astros in the World Series?
Astros.
And how many?
Six. I think they try to overuse the Nationals. I'm talking about, I think they overuse their starters in games 4 and 5 to try to get from the seventh to the ninth. They start doing the craziness of, Strasburg and especially Scherzer pitches game, whatever he does. And he comes back and, pitches game 5 and tries to throw 30 pitches.
I think I'm going to go with Washington in 7.
Okay.
I think. That starting rotation's really
sick.
Good. They're really good. Top 3 in the NL in strikeouts.
I'm just worried about. I'm gonna pull for the Nationals.
Yeah.
I feel like the stadium in Houston is going to allow for cheap enough runs off of the good pitching, because it also is going to be indoors, so it's not going to be cold. But I feel like they're going to have a run or two a game against these really good pitchers that wouldn't happen in other ballparks.
And Verlander's, he's kind of. He hasn't been a solid. He's still great. Don't get me wrong, but I think it would be a good story if Washington wins.
I'm gonna root for them. What do you think, Lou?
Astros in 6, but I said the Cardinals in 6 too. So
all of us are perfect. But so tonight we wanted to get back on the air. It's been a little while. I thought we had a really good show. We were ready to go. Just once again, you can find us anywhere, but at Chuck and Lou on Twitter, ChuckNLou. On Twitter, and
senior night for football this week for
senior
West.
Senior night, who's West got this weekend?
Westminster,
that'll be a good one. Senior night, we have a really good senior class as far as they've done a lot for the school, so come out and join them. Thanks to Iggy back here, who does all the work. I'm glad he made it unscathed from his road rage incident early tonight. Be careful on your way home, Iggy. Pete, once again, congrats on the new gig.
It's good to see you guys. Thanks.
Thanks for coming again, and we will see you in a couple, 2 or 3 weeks to start revving up for the hoop season with much more ahead. So thank you, everyone. This is Chuck and
Lou
and
Pete.